CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
A rotten episode of Star Wars. A short time ago, in a WWE universe not so far away, the evil emperor, John Laurinaitis, convinced the world's largest Jedi to join the dark side and become Show Vader. Show Vader then channeled his newfound anger to wage war against the younger, more handsome Jedi, John Cena Walker. The two did battle in an epic fight so big it had to be contained in a 15-foot-high Death Star. With the evil emperor sitting ringside, but not to be outdone and to make sure the match was fair, the old, decrepit... dust-covered Jedi Yoda McMahon sat next to him. The entire galaxy was involved. Jabba the Funkasaurus, Han Solo, Bro-Baka the Woo-Woo Wookie. Hell, even R2-R, A-Rai, and Santee-3PO were there. At one point, the battle was so vicious that Show Vader had Cena Walker in a corner and breathing heavy as he most often does, said, I am your father. And to be quite honest, that totally weirded me out because I know my dad and my dad's not Show. So I climbed out of the Death Star as quick as I could, using a maneuver that was easier than bagging womp rats back at Beggar's Canyon. And when I hit the floor, the ancient, old Jedi Yoda McMahon leaped out of his chair and said to the face of the evil emperor,
no chance in hell have you. Fired you are.
And left the evil emperor John Laurinaitis to perish.
Ah, I'm John Laurinaitis, and I'm about to perish.
Sadly, George Lucas will not edit this into canon. But I don't think I want him to mess up the original series any more than he probably already has. But this is not a place of science fiction. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. I must apologize for not being around this past week because of what had happened to my poor dear Uncle Paul. I had to go check in on him. We were worried he had a concussion. I was also told that I had to pay bail to get Brock Lesnar out of jail for beating the crap out of everybody who told him he wasn't allowed to go to Raw this week and kill people. So, with that in mind, I'm going to get some order to this roundtable, and I will start with somebody who has also been a bit wronged. Trista, welcome back.
Hey, everybody.
And is that you dancing on your keyboard?
No.
Okay. Let's see. So, and somewhere on the far side of the planet, I have Mr. Shane Beeman.
Oh, good day, everybody.
And our fourth tonight would be fourth.
And leave it to TNA to make John Cena's promo on Monday sound like Austin 316 with their closing segment.
I did not watch... All I got was the fact that their payoff to the phone call was filled with plot holes big enough for Hernandez and Big Show to walk through side by side.
Well, let's just put it this way. On next week's episode of Impact Wrestling, Maury Povich will guest star, and we're going to see AJ, you are the father.
No! And somewhere, Daniels will be at the top of the ramp, waving his TNA tag band, going, ha ha. Anyway. But I did not see TNA this week. I need my sanity. Okay, I don't have any. But, so this week's WWE events, Vicky Guerrero was in charge. I'm kind of happy for that. She always does a wonderful job. I find her a fine role model. I wish I could be half as irritating. Fourth, can you put up with Vicky Guerrero in charge? And do you think she should be the permanent GM?
I don't know about permanent GM, but I will say she's getting more comfortable in the on-air role, so I would definitely think at some point more of an authority, or at least on SmackDown, I would say.
Shane, given an incident on SmackDown tonight where she got in a little dust-up with Ziggler, do you think these two are going to stay together over the next few weeks?
I honestly have no idea. I'm I've liked what I've seen from Dolph Ziggler over the past few weeks. He's done some really great matches with Sheamus. And I don't know, I think now's the time that he needs to step away from Vicky and be his own shooting star. Because he's definitely got the talent for it.
And he's quite a view in his own right, Trista.
Hell yeah, he is. Oof. He does that little hip thing when he first comes out. I'm about it.
And showing, I think showing off should require him to not have to advertise his t-shirt. I'm getting off topic. But, no, I thought she did a very good job this week, and I thought Monday was actually a pretty fun show, as evidenced by Cena's wonderful Star Wars promo and his little, his interesting little interaction with the returning Chris Jericho, who, by the way, is looking more and more like Patrick Swayze. Or is it just me, Trista? Did he look like he aged a couple of years since disappearing on us for kicking a flag?
I kind of thought he looked more like Jon Bon Jovi than Patrick Swayze, but now that you mention Patrick Swayze, I can totally see it. Not that it's a bad thing, because Patrick Swayze was a really good-looking guy. So mm-hmm. It's not a complete insult, but Jericho's, what, in his early 40s?
He's not quite 40.
Not quite. Ooh, shit, my bad. Bit of an insult towards... Oh, he's 41. There you go. Oh. Take that. But, I thought he looked okay. Like, for a guy that's been off TV for a month, it's not like I missed him, but whatever. He looked good. Looked like he had some work done on his face. A little too plasticky for me. Maybe he spent a lot of time out in the sun because he had all that time off in Brazil.
No, they kicked him out of Brazil because he went and did his performance at the Download Festival, which we got to see some highlights from.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, while he got his touring done, he decided to come back. And is it just me, Shane, or is he letting the crowd decide whether he's going to be face or heel? He hinted kind of towards this on his Twitter.
I really don't know. I mean, a lot of people, especially some people in the back, are considering having him as a face, but I think Jericho is just being a true performer and letting the crowd decide, like, whether they want him, whether they like him or they hate him. But I don't know. I don't really like Chris Jericho as a face. He's more of a heel for me, but with the way the faces are going in WWE at the moment, I think we're going to see babyface Chris Jericho.
Which, I hate to say it, I could use some babyface Jericho. He's been doing super serious heel. He did super serious heel up until he left in late 2009.
I think he left in late 2010.
Time flies. The fact that he did the super serious heel all the way up until he was literally kicked off the air. And I'm ready for smart-ass Jericho again. I'd also like him to grow his hair out again, but I'm not going to get that.
Don't be too picky.
No, I want him on my TV, so, you know, if he wants to look like Jon Bon Jovi or Patrick Swayze, I'm all for that. Let's see, speaking of blasts from the past, we had our Legend of the Week. And anybody who follows the independents looking for name appearances know about the reputation of Psycho Sid, Sid Vicious, Sid Justice, take your pick of names, while Rebby Sky was being very unprofessional, just a little bit, tearing him up one side and down the other about finding his wallet to go to Raw. No, it's more like he went to Raw to find his wallet, because we know Vince paid him pretty handsomely to go in there and throw Heath Slater around. Let's see, who's my oldest school fan here? Who was watching when Sid was running around?
I can definitely remember his 1997 run and a little bit of the 1992 run, but not much more before that.
Because, unfortunately, all my experience with Sid was in 99 and 2000 WCW, but I will admit I am still the proud owner of a wonderful picture of him chokeslamming the ever-loving shit out of Hulk Hogan. The night after Uncensored 2000, where he duped Hogan into being his tag team partner and decided to turn heel. In my first genuinely smarky moment, watching Hogan get chokeslammed and cheering. Thank you very much.
He was booked on this wrestling show I volunteered at a couple of years ago, and he didn't show up.
He was a guest at an autograph session that I was going to attend in Michigan, and I found out halfway to the venue that he wasn't going to be there. So,
yeah, well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, well, you brought up before, Nikki. I mean, Matt Hardy's girlfriend, Rebby Sky, who we all know is an independent wrestler, she was very vocal with it and said that, like, brought up the fact that Sid hadn't made over 100 no shows, but yet WWE, he still gets on WWE somehow, and then has the gall to say that, oh, he loves the wrestling business and this is what he loves doing, and she absolutely berated him. But someone very surprising actually came to his defense, and we could see a future cat fight happening here between Sonny and Rebby Sky.
Especially since Rebby is still apparently blowing up on Sonny and making rude comments like, oh yeah, you blew Sabu for drugs. I could make a really sick comment to go with that, but...
Yeah, Rebby, you're dating Matt Hardy, so it's not like that's any better. Like, seriously.
And, actually, how does that line go that a friend of mine told me? Rebby, who exactly are you to the business? Who have you actually faced in the ring in this business? Have you wrestled Lita? Have you wrestled Trish Stratus? Have you even wrestled Melina? Sonny's a Hall of Famer, for whatever that's worth. But Sonny's done a heck of a lot more than you have, and that can be in or out of the ring. Take your pick. Was that mean?
No.
No, I don't think that was mean. I think that was truthful.
So, speaking of Slater, since he is such a wonderful bump machine and everybody finds him quite slappable, since Santino's been walking around with the U.S. title for several months now, let me throw this out to the table. Is Slater our new comedy guy?
I would say yes, because, again, like you said, he is more with taking bumps, so they are more in line, or with the idea of using him for the comedy spots in comparison.
I'm going to give a shout out to the fan boards that they have this wonderful thread. The fact that I with Slater's promos before the legend comes out, he drops you a little hint to let you know who's coming out to kill him. And when he started saying master and ruler, I said, you have got to, you know, I don't believe you. And I wasn't going to believe it until Sid actually walked to the curtain. With three more attempts at this, Trista, who would you like to have come out and kill Heath Slater?
I'll bite my tongue. I'm trying to think, because I didn't really get into wrestling until, like, the Attitude Era, so I don't know how far back I could go. Like...
You could have Road Dogg.
Yeah, I heard that the New Age Outlaws would be good. Maybe the Heartthrobs. Probably not. They're only there for, like, a year. I'm honestly drawing a blank right now. Has Repo Man come back yet?
No, but I'm sure he's somewhere on the list. Fourth, any thoughts?
Honestly, for some reason, I just want Slater to go, and I always get my man. Only... God, it's been a while since we've seen the only true... Yes, the only true man to use a taser effectively.
Kevin Nash, are you listening? Shane, you got anybody in mind?
I've got so many people I'd love to see come back and just do like a one match with Heath Slater. But in all honesty, if I had to someone I'd completely mark out for it, I doubt it would ever happen, but I'd go nuts if Heath Slater just looked at someone and goes, "You're a slap nut, and I'm the chosen one," and that would I'd lose my shit. I'd be like, alright. If anyone didn't catch that reference, I was referring to Jeff Jarrett back from WCW days.
Oh no. Trust me, I knew that one. I had joked about it where I could see him. I'm the one man Southern rock band, and I'm the whole damn show. It could happen.
People would flip if that happened.
And I have one more opinion I want to bring in on this. Stat Boy, welcome to the show.
Wait, how did I get here?
We'll get you back in order here. There.
Is that pig Latin?
No, that's very fast German.
So, ich werde not schnitzt.
Ich in bin Berliner. I'm a jelly donut.
When I had a German class years ago, they actually showed a video of Eddie Izzard explaining that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so...
Okay.
What's up?
So here is the question of the night. We have four episodes leading up to Raw 1000,
mm-hmm.
and Heath Slater has been getting killed on a regular basis, and this week mm-hmm. it was the shock of Sid actually showing up to an event. who would you like to see kill Heath Slater leading up to Raw 1000? Because I called Rob Van Dam, Shane wants Jeff Jarrett, Trista... Oh, I'm sorry, Trista.
I didn't really pick anyone.
That's
I think
right.
I picked a Repo Man.
Shouldn't be that hard.
And fourth, you wanted the Mountie.
Yes.
So, well, Step Boy, let's see what you can come up with.
I guess I'm not going that far off the board then compared to the rest of your picks. I'm going with someone who had a pretty good impact during those mid-90s Attitude Era, but also somebody that, you know, is pretty well known outside of the WWF. Flash Funk, Too Cold Scorpio.
You think he'd show?
Yeah, I actually think he'd show, and he still can put on a halfway decent match.
Yeah, I think I could see that. Unfortunately, I'm worried that half the audience would probably not get it.
Yeah, much like half the audience didn't get it for Sid.
But those of us who did completely, you know, just, like I said, it blew my mind. And we had, me and Trista had opportunities to meet Sid, and he no-showed said events.
Yeah, and then also something else popped in my mind, but I don't think anyone wants to see a jobber.
Actually,
Damian Demento.
I don't think they would get that, but I'll tell you what. If they were going to throw a jobber at him, I want somebody to call Dwayne Gill.
Or Brooklyn Brawler.
Even just as good. I want them to do all the Goldberg music. I want to do all the Goldberg pyro, and Dwayne Gill comes out.
Actually,
and
that
Slater
might be
still
a,
loses.
Yeah, that might be a featured opponent for Ryback at some point. Gilbert.
Please. Although they might not do that because apparently the real Goldberg has been speaking with Brock Lesnar, which is probably the best person to talk to about trying to get back in the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I don't want to see this because maybe we'll actually get the match we were supposed to get almost 10 years ago.
Ah, yes.
The WrestleMania 20 fiasco, where I think the only person who won that entire thing was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But, although speaking of Lesnar, he is finally going to show his ugly mug next week. And to answer the Evil Doc's challenge, and I can tell you it's probably going to be a very, very resounding and violent yes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it'll be kind of fun if he gets to say it to the Evil Doc's face.
Heck, I'd enjoy it if he basically interrupts a random match, destroys the two men in the ring, and basically grabs the mic and says, yes, and walks away.
Hey, that's what the divas are for.
But if he does that, somebody would call gimmick infringement.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Speaking of which, did anyone see when he did that on SmackDown?
When he was when he decided to come out and just lead the crowd at a yes chant for a solid 4 or 5 minutes.
that was a favorite moment of the night for me.
Actually, I liked at the end of the promo where he just started falling apart at the prospect of AJ as the guest referee. So, Jim Williams, Mr. Soundman, I need no with the crowd in the background going yes behind him. It was beautiful. And putting, you know, the fact that he's getting his rematch with Punk, and to our other panelist VRM, it is still not an Iron Man match. Keep dreaming, keep wishing. I want it to happen too. Let me ask this, Trista. Having a crazy chick as the referee for Punk Bryan, what do you think?
Is it going to be the whole girls only think based on emotions and they don't think logically thing? Because if they're going to do that, I think AJ's going to be pretty screwed up, and I think it could be a pretty good match. Is that for the next pay-per-view? I haven't really been following lately.
That's going to be the WWE title match at Money in the Bank, yes.
Ooh, I might want to buy that now. Huh.
And with that in place, then I wonder, Stat Boy, what do you think Kane's role will be in this? Because you know he's got to show up at this point.
Yeah, he will, but I bet it's not going to be much of anything by the end. By the end of this, he'll just be the third wheel in the cog. Or the fourth. Oh, you know what I mean. Because it's going to be D-Bry and AJ. I think they might just wind up together again with Punk on the outs. And Kane just going nowhere again.
Well, Kane did have a point. He's not really boyfriend material. No.
At a certain angle in 2002, it kind of confirmed that.
I wasn't going to go that far back. I was going to talk about Lita and the whole Demon Seed storyline.
Well, at least Kane basically came out and said, hey, I don't listen to girls when they say no. Because that's a pretty shitty boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And fourth, I'm sure you grinned a little bit when even Kane called AJ creepy.
Yeah. There's something about it, even if it did kind of undermine his current persona, just something about it was like, that is funny. I can't put it into words. It's just funny.
It just amuses me because we're, you know, I'm somebody who, you know, whenever, when May 19th hits, I always make the jokes about the barbed wire tree and the scorched cookies.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
I think I'm going to use that for a segue. This week is a week of wrestling history, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody want to point out any of those, the anniversaries that have passed in the last 7 days?
10 years for Cena.
1 year for the pipe bomb.
10 years since Bischoff came out on Raw.
7 years since Double Murder Suicide.
Five.
Actually, that's five.
Damn it. Yeah, if you can't tell, I'm still tired.
3 years for Michael Jackson.
That's a little off topic.
Sorry.
And 14 years since the epic Hell in a Cell of King of the Ring 98.
Oh, God.
That match, when I watched that match the first time, even though I watched it like weeks after it happened, I just questioned how the hell Mick Foley did not die.
Well, trust me, you weren't the only one just from... when I'm trying to remember which fall it was when Lawler just deadpanned, that's it, he's dead.
The one where he fell through the cage.
When he fell through the cage, and yeah, that's true. When he fell through and then got hit in the head with a chair and hit and just landed flat on the mat.
And lost his teeth. And the one ended up his nose.
That was when he went off the cage through the table. He sat up with that silly smile on his face and a tooth sticking out of his nose.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I have to give Undertaker props for that. I mean, you have to be such a professional to chuck someone off a cage and then think, okay, I've severely screwed this guy up. and he actually gets up and climbs up to you. You just be like, and he kept his face straight the whole time. I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd be sitting there like, you're freaking insane. Something's wrong with you.
I just killed a guy on pay-per-view.
Well, and then the fact that he almost kills him again when he back body dropped him through the cage and realized, okay, I bet you Foley doesn't even know what state he's in. So mm-hmm. Taker drops into the cage, broken foot and all, by the way.
Taker had a broken foot, right?
Yeah, Taker had a broken foot and did this match.
Oh.
And we have people in the cage getting ready to check on Foley, but Taker's like, we're going to lose the crowd, and he punches the hell out of Terry Funk.
I think he knocked one of Funk's shoes off.
Really? I'm going to have to go watch this again. Because I watched it, it's, you know, two spots, the two big spots, but it's 30 minutes of stuff. You were going to say, Shane?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, the punch that magically knocked Terry Funk out of his shoes. I swear, Funk must have had one of those senior moments and just forgot to tie one of his shoes up.
Either that or he just slipped them on real quick to run out there because they didn't know what kind of shape Foley was in. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't, watching it for the first time, you're right. That's the first thing through your head. How the hell did Mick get up from the table, from falling through the cage, from landing on the tacks twice, once with Undertaker on top of him?
Yes, and that match actually is the main reason people think that Foley did not. Have a very long career after that, because just from that one match, his body took so much damage that it's like, no, you can't do this anymore.
Well, between that and I'll even go back a couple of years to his King of the Death match he had in Japan with Terry Funk. Yes, I have seen this, and this is even more brutal. This one had barbed wire, broken glass. Supposedly a C4 charge, but I've watched enough Mythbusters to know it wasn't C4. But this was the match that Foley was still kind of smoldering when he was on the plane flying home. This is according to his first book. And I remember the video specifically for when the match was over. They showed Terry Funk being walked to the back, and he has his arms stretched out really strangely in front of him because he apparently had had nerve damage from some of the bumps he took in this match. So Foley was a crazy enough bastard, and that's why he had such a short career. And
exactly. But that's the thing, though. And when Ric Flair brought out that book that said Foley was a glorified stuntman, I was disgusted with Rick. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Rick, I'd like to see you get thrown off a cage and then have the balls enough to get up and say, no, I'm gonna keep going with this match. Let's go.
The biggest bump I'll tell you, no, because I was at WrestleMania 22 when they put Flair in a Money in the Bank match, and he fell off a standard ladder and messed up his ankle.
Of course he did.
Poor baby.
Like 78 years old.
Well, it's just a matter that, you know, he probably looked at the ladder and his forehead started bleeding, so.
And also that match he just a couple of months ago that he had with Sting. He did his standard, like, whip into the ropes and roll over the friggin' top rope and everything else, and he managed to mess up his arm with that. I'm like, oh, how did you do that?
Come on, Rick. You've been doing that same spot in every Sting match you've had for the last 25 years. You can't screw it up now. No, I'm serious. If you've seen one Flair Sting match, you've seen them all.
I used to work with a guy that was a giant Ric Flair fan, and I think he would cry if he heard you say that.
He would try to reach through the phone and punch my lights out, but
dude was huge. Like, if Ahmed Johnson and Ezekiel Jackson had a baby, it was this guy. Like, legit, he was giant. And I would see him at work, and I would just go right up to him, and I'd be like, I hate Ric Flair. He's done nothing for wrestling. And he would get so pissed off.
So you're pretty much saying he's a Bob Sapp-looking dude.
He's just giant. Like, so big across the chest, he can't put his arms down at his sides.
I was going to say, I thought Ezekiel Jackson was a clone of Ahmed Johnson.
Zeke can actually talk.
That's true. Even with his slight Guyanese accent, whatever that would be. Let's see. Can I speak more of obscure wrestlers? Oh. In news that only some individuals who care deeply about the Divas division, that might be Typho. Ah. Maxine's gone.
No.
Maxine just up and quit. She's like, I've done all this. You know, I did all this stuff on NXT. When are you going to put me on TV? I want to do something. Oh, you're on already, you knew this, that, and the other thing. We don't have a storyline for you. Eh, screw you guys. I'm going home. But I hate to say it. I won't miss her because I probably couldn't pick her out in a police lineup.
Yeah, well, it's not... But I did read what she said to her Twitter followers and... things like that, saying, oh, I'm there. If I want to be able to truly entertain, I'm going to do it on my own terms and things like that. And I'm like, well, you're obviously not going to go to TNA because TNA ain't doing shit over there with their women either. So, screw.
Seriously, I mean, where's she going to go? Shimmer?
Oh, please no. These women have too much talent.
I didn't get to see much of her work, Trista, so I really can't comment.
I think for someone that came in as, like, you know, someone from a magazine or whatever, like someone that was just a pretty face, I think she was pretty decent. I'd put her above Kelly, if that means anything, because it's not very hard to be above Kelly. But not that it's a huge loss to the Diva division, obviously, because they don't do jack shit with them. Mm-hmm. But I think it sucks. Because I think if they actually invest time, that she probably could have been the top heel for them.
But you're right. There, you know, nobody's really going to miss her.
No.
She,
well,
you
just
know.
Said it. You couldn't point her out of a police lineup. When's the last time you missed a Raw or a SmackDown?
Exactly.
Like, it's just so, it bugs me what they do with the Divas.
And I hate to, unfortunately, Trista, with the Divas division, I really think that we're just stuck in a holding pattern until Karma comes back.
We have been since Karma left. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. Oh, no, we didn't even have Lay Cool last year because they've been gone for like a year. It's just such bullshit. This is why you don't build your division around one person. Because if that one person leaves, like Karma did, mm-hmm. you're fucked until they come back. Because you just put so much investment into this one person.
And that's more like an if they come back, in the case of, say, in the case of Michelle McCool,
mm-hmm.
Which they've, sounds like they've purged the last vestiges of her career, and the fact that Layla is now coming out to Tiffany's old music. Anybody notice?
Yeah,
I did.
I'm insatiable, I can't get enough, I need a boy. Really?
Really?
Josh,
I didn't know that about you.
I just
come on, Nikki.
I just kept trying to think of a joke related to Drew McIntyre, but I just couldn't think of anything.
Oh.
Well, just the fact, no, I'll be happy to give you one fourth. Layla just shares gym time with Drew.
Well, let's hope she doesn't post on thedirty.com.
Woo. Okay, so since she's off entertaining, we also have others off entertaining. Has anybody seen Jomo's latest mini movie?
Yes.
No? Is it brilliant?
It is hilarious. It's through the website, I believe, Funny or Die.
Sweet.
It's essentially an extended commercial, and it comes across like one of these Not Another movies, except it's actually funny.
Well, it's Morrison involved. He could make those movies halfway watchable just without a shirt.
Yes, and Trista, I will tell you, that is the only drawback I had to this whole thing.
He kept his shirt on?
He had his shirt on the entire time.
Not interested.
So, you're saying that Morrison with his shirt on is less interesting than Kevin Nash with his shirt off?
Correct. Kevin Nash had a G-string. I saw that tonight. It was awesome.
So, yes. Kevin Nash ruined an entire summer storyline to strip.
Wise decision.
Wow.
Somewhere, Triple H and Shawn Michaels are laughing about this.
Mm-hmm.
Until they see how much money this movie's gonna make.
Gives a new definition to chick flick. Yeah. Okay, I've got tomorrow off.
Do it. Such a good movie.
Don't mind if I do. Shane?
Just to think, though. If is it coming, like, is that movie coming out to the cinemas, or is it going straight to DVD?
That's only Triple H's movies.
Yeah, Magic Mike's already out in theaters.
It came out today. I guarantee it will debut at number one at the box office.
I have a very hard time believing that.
It depends on what it's up against.
It is.
Go ahead.
Let's see now.
I was going to say, you got Ted and other things like that coming out, so it's like, mm-hmm.
And let's see now, People Like Us and Madea's Witness Protection, which may just sneak in the number one spot.
God no. help us all.
It will. It will not. Do not underestimate the power of girls going to the movies.
And do not underestimate the power of 20 guys with their shirts off and each of them with a wonderful rack of abs. Yes, thank you.
Seriously, why do you think Sex and the City did so well? Because girls went out and saw it more than once. Same thing's going to happen with Magic Mike, number one this weekend.
Place your bets. Place your bets.
Yeah. I'm confident with this. I won't put money on it because it's not like I'm going to see you guys. But, someone wants to bet against me, I'll take it.
No thanks. I want to keep my money.
Who said it wasn't going to be number one?
I have better weight.
That would be me. And, I'd much rather keep my money. Thank you very much.
I have better ways to burn my money, namely on a particular DVD release this Tuesday.
I didn't say we had a bit of money, I'm just saying. It's bragging rights.
And what DVD are you looking at fourth, or is that off topic?
Not necessarily off topic. It's one that WWE has decided to give the Plan 9/The Room treatment, as in so bad it's somehow good.
Ah, yes, the DVD and Blu-ray release of No Holds Barred. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like how the ads, when you really watch the ads, you can really tell that they are trying to belittle Hogan as best they can.
Oh, absolutely. But as somebody who hasn't seen the movie, I got to put it out there. If anybody here has seen it, does it fall in that so bad it's good territory, or is it so bad it's horrible?
The last time I saw it years ago, I thought it was. I don't know how well it's held up since then. So I would say it at least looks like it could be.
Which begs the question to the panel, do you think that is Zeus in any shape to go out there and kill Slater next week?
I would imagine at least a quick match, because the most recent thing I saw him in was 2008, and he looked to be in good shape there.
I actually would like to see that. I would like to see Slater go out there and try to hawk No Holds Barred, and Zeus comes out and kills him. I think I want to see that now. Was that the GM? No, that wasn't the GM.
No, that was not the GM. That was a text on my phone.
Oh. Anybody we know?
No. It's just Ruby Sky bitching and complaining again. It's all
right. Could you just tell her to, if she's going to bitch, could she at least just direct message Tammy and just be done with it? Because there's a lot of us who really don't want to hear some of these wonderful stories, especially the Sabu one again.
Which, but hold on, it wasn't a story, because who was it? Oh, I can't remember. I think it was Sandman or Sabu himself actually confirmed it. I was like, okay, that was a bit more than I needed to visualize or know.
So, yeah, that's just something that we're just gonna go ahead and skip past.
I must never speak of this again.
Yeah, it's quite.
So, do I have anything else out here? Me and my big mouth.
May I have your attention, please?
Ah, yes.
I have just received an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my HP OmniGo 100.
And send the link to Brian Henniger, because I'm still amazed at the crazy random crap you guys get emails on. Let me see that. Let's see. And I quote, "They still haven't contacted me regarding GMing Raw between now and Raw 1000, although I do send kudos to Teddy Long getting his position back, at least for a week, next week." And if we really want to talk about wenches, do you really want to go into any details about the current Mrs. Flair, or soon-to-be ex-Mrs. Flair, at the rate she's going? I'm not repeating that joke. It's a joke about Flair, his wife, and blood. Not going there, Mr. GM. Sorry.
Sorry, stiff breezes do that, too. Like we had here today.
But let's see. Oh, okay, never mind. Essentially, at this point, the GM needs to ask me a couple of questions regarding Uncle Paul and Brock, and that's something I cannot divulge to public media, so we're going to take a little break here. You guys go ahead and hit the restrooms, grab something to drink, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
Roll the tape on this.
Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
Well, I'm so glad I brought it up then.
As a great man once said, that marijuana make you lazy.
Yes.
When I was watching that segment, I was just thinking to myself, if I were Sheamus, if I were Daniel Bryan, I would have been seriously pissed off.
It comes down to four simple words. It's the economy, stupid.
What partnership?
I don't see no partnership.
The partnership I need to get laid?
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Williamsware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now. How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hello, this is DC Lundberg, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Channel 3, sing along with Jim.
Oh, no!
And now, the North American Wrestling Connection presents the WWE PG Moment of the Week.
You see, it's been about a year since I've been the WWE Champion. And come to think of it, I'm not just out to stop Big Show. At Money in the Bank, I'm going to win the whole fudging thing.
Fudging?
It's a PG show. It's the best I could do.
What are you, 9?
Most of our viewers are around that age.
This has been the WWE PG Moment of the Week.
be said. But I kind of bring that up because of John Cena's plan of being in the Raw Money in the Bank, since they've decided to tweak the concept for it and just put former champions in the Raw version. So far we have Cena, Jericho, Kane, Big Show. Ooh, if Kane's in this, he might not have time to go play in the Punk and Bryan match.
Unless he wins it.
True. Which he pulled that before. Because he did that to Ray at a Money in the Bank match a couple years ago.
Yeah, but, that's when he won the SmackDown. I think it was the first ever SmackDown Money in the Bank, wasn't it?
When they first did
Raw and SmackDown.
I believe so, and he cashed it in the very same night on Mysterio. Somewhere I've got a picture of Ray holding the belt just as Kane's pyro's going off. And him looking up the ramp going, fuck. So, well, Trista, I'm going to start with you. This former champion's Money in the Bank, I don't think that's what's getting your pay-per-view money, is it?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it's a neat concept. Like, it's something different. It's something more than just, oh, we're going to put Evan Bourne in here because he can do crazy shit off a ladder. Like, it's guys that I know a couple of them have been in ladder matches before, but ladder matches aren't their forte, you know? Like, it's not like it's an Edge or Christian that's in there. So I like the concept of it. Whether or not it'll be a great match, like, we won't know until it comes up, but I like that it's different than just, oh, we'll put Kofi in here because he can use the ladders as stilts. Like, it's...
I have the Kappa Ame cartoon in my head
really
again.
Expect to be in a ladder match, so I like it.
And to that fourth, since we've got Big Show in the ladder match, do you think they still have that 350-pound giant ladder that they used in the other Money in the Bank match he was in?
I hope they do, but I definitely hope for their sake they don't go with something contradictory like they did that year, when Bourne and Henry were climbing the regular ladder while Big Show necessitated that giant ladder.
Let's see. Shane, Jericho and Kane both seem to have some TLC and Money in the Bank experience. So you see either of these guys as a favorite in this match, since Cena and Show could potentially cancel out?
Yeah, I don't know, but... is it confirmed that these are going to be the only competitors, or are they going to be possibly more former WWE champions added on?
I think we're going to get a couple more people in there. I honestly don't think they're going to do a four-man Money in the Bank.
Yeah, well, if it's just a four-man Money in the Bank, then yeah, then those are my two picks. Because I'm sorry, but I couldn't buy Cena winning a Money in the Bank, like, even though it's Super Cena, but still, the mere concept of Cena climbing a ladder just. But yeah, Jericho or Kane definitely. But depending on if they add new people, then yeah, the experience definitely will win out.
And the reason I bring that up, Step, was I just, you know, the fact that Jericho is the originator of the Money in the Bank concept, and Kane really showed his chops being a one-man wrecking machine in the tag team TLC in Raw Roulette of October 2002, despite the shitty ending. Mm-hmm. Great match, shitty ending to the show. Just, you know. Would they throw Kane a bone since he's kind of third wheeling it with Punk and Bryan right now?
They just might. And be honest, it would probably be the only way to make Kane relevant in that feud. Because that would pretty much put out there the air or of, gee, I would rather let these two beat each other stupid and then come and cherry pick the title going neener, neener, neener.
And meanwhile, the number threes would complain.
Son of a bitch!
Anyway.
Jason? You're number three-er? No!
But, no, actually it is an interesting concept, so I really should, I shouldn't dog on this match. However, I am twice as curious about the SmackDown Money in the Bank so far. Hmm. With the people that they have in there, where they're letting, they're finally letting Tyson Kidd get a pay-per-view paycheck.
Yay!
The fact that we will have experience in the match with Christian.
Hooray!
The fact that we will also have an at least an experienced hand. I've never seen him with a ladder in Tensai. But will it ruin his gimmick?
Everything will ruin his gimmick.
We have Santino in there for comedy relief, and Damian Sandow, who is my idol, pun fully intended. But it's true. Damian Sandow is my idol, and Cassius Ohno is my hero. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Try the veal.
I was going to say, tip the veal, try your waitress.
Hooray!
But, okay, so let me ask you this, Trista, since, you know, you've heard my opinion, and since we have a couple of Canadians playing around in the SmackDown Money in the Bank match, are you interested, excited, curious?
I'm happy that Tyson Kidd is going to be in it, because I think he's long, long overdue to showcase what he really can do, you know? Mm-hmm. So for him to be in it, like, we've seen what he can do on Superstars and SmackDown and, you know, shows that really don't get a good look at him. So I think him being on pay-per-view will just give him a bigger audience, probably. And I think it could only go up for him from here, hopefully.
Well, surprisingly, Trista, they actually discussed that on commentary during the match, during one of the few times that I didn't have the television muted for SmackDown tonight.
Ooh.
Since I wanted to slap Cole for calling Booker out on calling AJ a whack job when, Mr. Cole, that's all you called her for 3 weeks. I just might be a tad judgmental. Maybe it's just me. Stat Boy, what would you be scratching your head if Sandow or Santino pulled down that briefcase?
Not so much Santino, because here's a point that most people don't realize. He's been champ for about 1 out of every 4 days he's been in the company since he debuted versus Umaga in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me that terribly if Santino won. It would surprise me really, really hard if Damian got in, because that would be a pretty much a jerk out of nowhere, because he would easily be the first one to lose. Yes, he's shown viciousness, but right now he's pretty much high end of the low card.
And commentary actually made a Lanny Poffo reference tonight.
Of course.
I hope they don't Del Rio Sandow.
I hope not either, because they already did that to him once with anybody remember the teacher's pets?
Yes. Oh, God. Or Michelle McCool's first job in the WWE.
Second job.
Beyond the Diva Search.
No, I was...
Oh?
Wasn't she a massage therapist?
She was a personal trainer.
Massage therapist.
It could have been a little bit of both, because she was working with RVD at the time.
Oh. There's me not paying attention. Then again, this was about the era where it's like, I didn't watch every week. Because I just started college.
Yeah, this was... Because I remember the segment when Rob introduced her to Mysterio. And Rob was doing one of his trademark stretches, and Michelle was actually, you know, keeping up with him. Then Ray went ahead and tried to do it, and kind of got it right, and said, yeah, this feels pretty good. And Rob took one look at him and said, doing it wrong. Complete with dude. I have that segment somewhere. Anyway. So, yeah, I think Sandow deserves a whole lot better, but I might just be a little bit biased because I got to see his work when he was in OVW back in 2005, and he had the best entrance in wrestling outside of M&M, where he had two valets who would pose with him and then part the ropes for him by doing back bends over the middle rope. Why this did not come to TV, I will never know.
His valets being Shelly Martinez and Beth Phoenix.
Correct. One dressed in white, one dressed in black.
I just thought that was so funny because Beth Phoenix plays such a heel. And it's like, no, look, she was the feminine one out of these two.
So, but yes, I wish all the best for Sandow. I just don't, I agree. He's probably not going to win. I think he's going to be the one that gets the absolute sick bump of the match. He's the one that they're going to kill. Mm-hmm. I think he's
Sin
the one.
Sin Cara treatment?
Yeah, Sin Cara or Edge from WrestleMania 23. I hate to bring that up.
Hey.
I hate to bring that up. It was a spectacular move. It was a spectacular spot.
It was a terrible spot. It ruined his streak.
I agree. But it was also a very typical Jeff Hardy spot, where he's on top of the ladder, and there's the briefcase, where he's going, I could win the match. I could do something really cool. I could win the match. Oh, man, that looks really cool.
I'm going to do something so stupid right now.
And he looks back, I can win the match. And then Matt's on the floor going, Jeff, look!
Drugs? Where?
I was going to say, I could do something stupid right now would be the title of his autobiography.
I miss my dog.
Whew. Let's see. How about something a little more role model-ish? Yes. JBL. A man who has conquered the financial world, had conquered the wrestling world, is now conquering the seven tallest peaks in the world. He has completed one, Mount Elbrus, which he got to 17,000 feet, but between weather, exposure, and the fact that he'd blistered the hell out of his feet, they had to stop at 17,000 feet. Poor guy. So close. But now Vince can brag that he has a flag flying on one of the tallest mountains in the world.
Yes.
I mean, it's a neat concept. So Trista, what do you give his chances when he tries for Kilimanjaro in the fall?
Whatever.
No, you're fine.
I'm not really interested in this story, so it's kind of zone out. Hey, if he wants to do it, then go ahead. But if he fails, like, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh my god, I can't believe you fucked this up. Like, I don't think it'll be a backlash if he doesn't do it. As long as he tries, that's the important part.
There you go. What amazes me is that we have not heard anything on TV about it.
Well, it's not John Cena doing it. It's JBL.
That's true. They'll spend more money. They'll spend more money in video on Cena's 300th wish.
As they should.
No. I'm more power to him. But I guess it's just I'm not the target demographic on that.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
Sorry, my DVR is a wonderful invention, and I skipped that part.
Poopy.
Poopy?
Poopy.
La who the her.
What?
Hey, Sting's not the only one that can make a bad Jim Carrey impression.
Oh, Neil, are you crazy?
Yeah, we're working our way to left field here. Actually, I know how to get Trista's attention back. CM Punk's on the cover of WWE 13.
Yep. CM Punk was not in Magic Mike, though, so.
His abs aren't defined enough for it.
No, he would not be good. Matthew McConaughey looked like a Ken doll. It was so hot.
Now I want a deleted scene with Punk and Nash that goes the exact same way their segment did.
Let me read you a text from my sister. OMG WTF, Kevin Nash thought he was dead, LOL. But it is thanks to the Second City Saint, Straight Edge Savior, or whatever else you want to call him. Cover mugging Punk, yes. Thanks to him in the new attitude mode, the pre-sales for this game, which I believe is released in October,
mm-hmm. I believe are... So
sorry?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the sales are absolutely ridiculous. As in, what was it, over 100% past the sales for last year's game. Well, that's what happens when you put Randy freaking Orton on the cover. So they had to suspend the game, too. Anyway, but I, you know, this is actually a coin flip, Stat Boy. Is it Punk or is it the attitude mode that you think people are going for here?
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Because to be honest, Punk is very much a polarizing figure, though more people love him than hate him. As for the Attitude Era, a lot of people, especially those who don't watch wrestling now, are still into that type of thing. So they're going to pick it up in droves.
Shane, are you a gamer, and would you buy this game?
I was very upset because I actually had to restart WWE 12 because my PS3 wiped all my information. Like, assholes.
Oh.
Yes, but no, definitely. WWE 13 looks amazing. I'm hearing great things about it, like they're once again adjusting like the targeting systems and things like that, and the roster from what I've seen looks brilliant. So yeah, why not get it? Especially with the Attitude Era mode, everyone's going to be intrigued with it.
Let's see, Fourth, are you a gamer and would you get it?
I definitely do play games, and I would definitely get it, not just for the Attitude Era mode, but just because one of the things you can do with two super heavyweights is the Brock Lesnar Big Show superplex spot.
That's right. They put in the destroy the ring spot.
That was just like, I need to get this game as soon as I saw that.
You were going to say something, Shane?
Oh, no. No, I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay. Trista, are you a video gamer at all?
I am a big Mario gamer. Mm-hmm. Not so much like a first-person shooter gamer, but mostly Mario and Lego Batman.
Okay.
My brother's into the WWE games, though, so I'll watch him every now and then.
Okay, because I will admit I've kind of lost my gaming chops over the years, and I've never been very good at wrestling games because the targeting system is just so confounding to me. Button should do the same thing every... Sorry?
I haven't really played a wrestling game since, like, WrestleMania 2000? No Mercy?
Diggity Dog?
Oh.
Like, it's
Is that how far back you go with the gaming? I go back all the way to that friggin', what was it? WWF WrestleMania, when they had on the old Super Nintendo going, yeah.
Oh, I go back further than for gaming. Like, I've been playing video games my whole life. It's just for wrestling games. Like, I really don't think I've played... Oh, no, I played Day of Reckoning. That was my last wrestling game. Day of Reckoning 2. That's how far back it is.
Because despite my extensive fighting game experience, I just suck at wrestling games.
They're fun.
They're fun to watch. I can't play them to save my life.
I like the Mortal Kombat games, though, where I can just hit square a whole bunch of times. Those ones are fun. That really pisses off my brother.
But, no, I'm... You know, what I've seen and heard so far is really impressive. And if my PlayStation 3 was working, I would give it some consideration. But I would probably be doing a lot of, I'm going to watch the match.
So you're more of a Fire Pro type.
Yeah. So, let's see. What else have I got in here? I guess. Time for our final Jeopardy question. Network in peril.
Ooh, what is the WWE Network?
Very good. Very good.
Oh. I didn't hear the rest.
Ah. You just got to reach a little faster there, Trista. But he is sadly right, because at this juncture, whatever other delays that we might not know about, you know, they're already thinking, maybe we might need to push this back till 2013. Well, DirecTV said, meh, we're not interested. Which is not a good thing, because that's a third of the domestic TV market. So, Trista, I don't know how TV and satellite works in your neck of the woods.
I remember we used to have a DirecTV dish, and we would steal satellite signals, and it was like the big thing to do when I was in high school. Like, everyone had a DirecTV dish, and we were all so impressed that we finally got MTV. So we'd like all gather around and like talk about the real world Las Vegas the next day. But I don't know about the WWE channel coming up here at all.
As a Dish subscriber, it doesn't really affect me. Shane, what about your side of the planet?
What's this with?
WWE Network, at least in the domestic market, the three major groups you got to deal with are the cable conglomerates, which are Time Warner and Comcast. Then you have DirecTV and Dish Network.
So, yeah, we pretty much have that same... We have the same thing here. Like, it's pretty much either you have your basic cable or digital. Then, of course, you've got the pay TV, which is the Foxtel or Star, things like that. The satellite one, obviously, which most people over here going for pay TV, and I don't know why. Probably because it's got more channels, obviously, but...
And if I remember correctly, Statboy, you're a Dish guy, aren't you?
Nope, Time Warner Cable.
I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad thing, especially compared to what I had up north.
As somebody who joyously kicked Insight out of my apartment. But, no, this is definitely bad news. I mean, they were already having enough of a problem, you know, just trying to get everything together. Now they've got a third of the market saying, you know, no, not interested. No, thank you. Oh, your channel? Like this? Anyway... So, they've started slipping into taking some of their programs to the current Plan B, YouTube, and Plan C, Ion.
Oh, dear God.
They've got a show planned for Ion called Main Event. And, Statboy, you said you actually had a start date and time.
Yes, WWE Main Event debuts on Ion Television. For those who wonder what the hell Ion Television is, it's the former PAX network, the religious programming network that more or less fizzled really, really fast. It will be debuting the show WWE Main Event will be debuting on October 3rd at 8 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be essentially, by the looks of things, a Superstarsian show, which this might just be the thing that takes Superstars off the air.
Well, or at least off the internet, since...
Not just the internets, but off the air in the international markets. Hi, yeah, Shane.
Ooh, do you get Superstars actually on your TV, Shane?
No, we don't, actually. I think the pay TV does get it, but it's mainly on the internet, on WWE.com, where you can watch it.
Okay.
Although, speaking of internet TV, the newest iteration of NXT, anybody watched?
Oh,
yes.
Forgot.
I heard a yes. Somebody fill
yes,
me in.
That would be me.
Talk to me,
this
Stepboy.
New WWE NXT I actually talked about, say a month or so ago, it debuting at Full Sail University.
Right.
Well, the first two episodes are now out there on YouTube, featuring actually a pretty good main event of the first show with Michael McGillicuddy versus Tyson Kidd.
Mm.
Yeah, and then also the debuts of Seth Rollins.
Trista.
That's why I was sad that I missed it. I taped it last week. I got all excited, and then I didn't.
Don't worry, it's all over YouTube at this point. But yes, Seth Rollins has debuted with some sort of metal gimmick.
Oh, that he used to do that in like IWA, like before he was even in Ring of Honor, he would do like that crash dancing at the beginning.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
Let's see now, who else has debuted of major note? Richie Steamboat.
Awesome.
Who else? There is actually at least one or two other guys who have been given plenty of screen time.
Cassius Ohno?
No, not yet. The
Damn
Ascension.
It.
The Ascension immediately comes to mind.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
Cassius Ohno is coming up here in a week or two, if memory serves, along with Bray Wyatt's in-ring debut.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they've only done two promos. Very good promos with that great, great music that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's some other stuff. Leo Kruger's getting a bit of a push. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm probably missing somebody here in the mix, and I am going to kick myself when I figure out who it is.
Oh, you'll remember about 5 minutes after we go off the air.
Yeah.
And slowly bang your head on the desk. So let me look here. Does anybody got anything else we need to blather about tonight?
Let's see now.
Have we talked about Magic Mike yet?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we've overtalked that.
Actually, there is something that we haven't talked about yet that makes me go, what?
Uh-oh.
And that would be the Impact Zone stuff. Not WWE, but TNA.
Well,
debuted
I made a comment.
Three
yeah.
new wrestlers. Oh my god.
Well, actually, the only thing I did talk about with TNA was just the secrets revealed about that phone call with Dixie and AJ that have plot holes so big that Tensai and Big Show could walk through it side by side.
Yeah.
And of course, that Mari Povich would be appearing next week.
Yes. To tell AJ that he's indeed the father. So please remove your palm from your face and continue.
Yes. But yeah, what it is pretty much is three new wrestlers, well, new to you, not to us, have debuted. Rubens, who is better known as Jigsaw in Chikara. This is the first time ever that a true Chikara graduate from the Wrestle Factory has been on national television. Claudio doesn't count because he started elsewhere.
Right.
Sabian, who just was fresh off of a Ryback beat down.
Yes.
On SmackDown last Friday. He won his match against Scorpio Sky from PWG.
Okay.
Which means we'll be hearing more of him, and we'll be hearing more of the returning Sanjay Dutt in future weeks of Impact.
Whoa, wait a minute. He's coming back?
He is back. He won his match against Rubix this week. Okay.
As long as he didn't call him Halloween this time.
Yes.
I will admit, I did watch Impact Wrestling, and I was very impressed with all the X Division matches that happened. I thought, this is what you need. To revamp the X Division, that's exactly what they've done.
I'm just hoping it's... Go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, to me, the three things they have right now are the X Division, to an extent, the Joseph Park, Bully Ray stuff, just because it works on some weird level, and the current push of Austin Aries.
I just certainly hope that this isn't a too little, too late kind of scenario. It just makes me think of the Cruiser Tag Division in late WCW. And,
Yes, of course, Bo Rotundo.
Yeah, the guy I forgot about was Bo Rotundo. He was nothing special, though, unfortunately, unlike his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, his brother's probably one of the best characters in FCW NXT now, and probably ever. For time is on his side. Yes, it
is. Sorry, just slightly distracted by all these Magic Mike pictures that Trista's sending to me.
Oh,
just
best
don't tell
movie
us
if ever.
Just don't tell us.
I'm just going to go on record with saying this right now. You want to know the real reason why Trista wants to make that bet so badly? It's because that movie is going to become number one on Trista's money alone.
How many more times are you going to go see it this weekend, dear?
Trust me, if I could afford to go see it again, I totally would. In a heartbeat. Oh, look at these pictures. They're just delicious. Nom, nom, nom.
Sorry, I'm trying to get that in... I don't really want to get the thought in my mind, but just... The thought of Kevin Nash and Delicious in the same sentence, it just doesn't work for me.
Well, there's more guys.
He's not the only one to ogle, trust me.
Yeah.
You know what else doesn't work? Totka Michinoku naked.
Stop that.
Ha!
I'm looking at Matthew McConaughey in a G-string. He just had to friggin' bring up Taka. Are you kidding me right now? What
if anything could derail Matthew McConaughey, you know, he would still blow out Taka Michinoku.
What a buzzkill.
I don't... Ooh. Yes. That boy, shame on you, sir. For Stat Boy, I'm going to just say get the hook.
Twilight, get my rope.
Oh, dear God. Don't do it.
I'll tell you what. We just won't do it on the air.
Oh, shit.
So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I am going to say goodnight from the North American Wrestling Connection, and Statboy might not be here next week. I'm not to blame for what is about to happen here. So, for Trista, for Statboy, for Forth, for Shane Beeman, and for our chief high muckamuck, my name is Nikki Heyman. Good night, everybody. Oh, Statboy!
Magic Mike!
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.